But in a nutshell, the first event that we're going to be talking about tonight took place on a Saturday night, August 21st, I believe it was. Our investigators, I'm sure, will correct me on that date if I'm wrong when they come on the air here in a minute. Mm-hmm. August 21st, people southwest of Midway Airport, very close to downtown Chicago, probably not 10 or 12 miles from downtown Chicago, were witness to three very distinctly red lights maneuvering over the city of Tinley Park, Illinois, and surrounding towns, Orland Park, and there were several others. Well, we reported this. We covered it. We put the reports on our website. The night I got home from the Hollywood conference, this was the day I guess you and I had met, I was greeted by a whole host of telephone calls from people in, once again, Tinley Park, Illinois. On Halloween night, Sunday night, many, many people, I'm sure they must have numbered in the thousands of citizens in Chicago and the Tinley Park area, saw the lights again. Now, since that time, since that October 31st event, both events have been intensely investigated by MUFON field investigator from Illinois, MUFON Illinois, Sam Maranto, and also Vic Connor, who's a former college instructor. They have been interviewing many of the witnesses. They've been looking at the videotapes. And with that, why don't we just bring these two gentlemen online and allow them to bring our audience up to date on what they've uncovered and what they're doing to try to explain this very peculiar event.
Very good. We both have both Sam and Vic on the line with us now. Sam, how are you?
Very good, George.
Good to have you with us.
This is really a good case.
All right. And Vic, you are there too?
Yes, I am, George. Nice to
meet
you.
You too. All right, Sam, let's start with you a little bit. You have, of course, investigated a number of mass sightings. You've talked to a lot of witnesses. Tell us a little bit about this episode.
What's interesting about this, George, is unlike many of the other cases, it seems though, not in addition to the fact that we have mass sightings, we have other events and dates that also correlate to these dates of similar objects, and also of either multiple witnesses or at least five or six, not just one individual. And this has been going on now for some period of time. And as Peter has pointed out, the 21st of August being our first mass sighting, and which was truly significant, and the most significant, of course, being October 31st.
All right, and Vic, tell us a little bit about your involvement here.
Well, I spent a day with Sam visiting about seven different witnesses at five locations to try to triangulate roughly where this object was, how high off the ground, and roughly its size.
How far off the ground was it?
Well, based on what various people told me, it appears to be roughly 4,000 feet above the ground and about 5,000 feet long.
Now, Sam, is this what we have been getting reports of over the last several years of a large triangular-shaped object? Is this the same kind of thing?
If not exactly the same, relatively similar, or quite possibly three crafts that are cradling some type of other form of technology within it, and that I could get into a little bit later. But the thing is, the triangular formation, the isosceles triangle, is obviously present in at least the first sighting. It seems as though there's at least two objects that come into play each time there is a sighting. The three lights, three red burgundy lights, which have variations from red to orange to yellow, depending on the perspective. But also another craft that shows up 15 minutes to hour and a half later.
Now, you both interviewed a lot of people out there. Did you come away from it feeling as if these people were pretty credible, they knew what they were talking about?
We have a cross-section here of both every imaginable field, and we have aviation personnel, everything from crew to pilots also as witnesses. So we have highly credible witnesses. We have amateur astronomers. We have doctors and lawyers. In fact, two very, very active assistants in the field are doctors.
Now, Vic, was there anything that these witnesses told you that kind of made you want to shake your head, saying, hey, we may be onto something here?
Well, when I talked to two different witnesses, they're actually on their cell phones talking to each other as they're watching it on Halloween night. And what was interesting to me is they're kind of pointing in different directions, and at first I was really having trouble trying to understand what they're telling me. But then when I realized they were less than a half a mile apart, and this object appeared to be roughly a mile long, it really made much more sense. Another thing is that all of the seven witnesses that I spoke to personally had seen the same type of thing on August 21st. So a couple of guys thought that this thing might have been balloons or something on August 21st, but when it came around to Halloween, the total wonder of it was gone from them, and they really couldn't explain what they saw. There was nothing in their lives that they could really make sense out of these three objects.
Now, when you said that the object could have been about a mile long, was that because these lights were spaced about a mile apart, you think?
That's exactly right. Now, on the Halloween sighting, it was an overcast night, and you couldn't see any stars. So they saw these three lights that appeared to be in an isosceles triangle shape that may be rotating, whatever. It wasn't really clear if they were connected or not, but they, in terms of everybody's observation, they moved exactly like they were the vertices of a large triangle.
Now, Sam, did anybody see any shape to this object other than three lights?
Yes, there has been people. There has been at least four people who have seen structure to it, or at least something that appears to be structure, at least on the three lights. We also have a witness that saw a craft and was directly underneath it at approximately, say, 6:45 on the 31st.
Peter Davin, go ahead, Sam, finish up.
And that craft was pretty interesting as far as description.
Peter, how similar is this to what was reported in Phoenix many years ago?
Well, it is very similar in the sense that we have an object that is hovering seemingly motionless in the night sky. It is very large. It has seems to have a pattern of lights on it that are totally incompatible with any kind of terrestrial aircraft that I'm aware of. I say that because if it was an aircraft, the lighting pattern on it is not in conformation, not in conformity with what federal aviation regulations require of any aircraft that's in the night sky. So in that sense, George, it is very similar. We're dealing once again with a very large triangular object.